the MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Burgess Meredith. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, noted writer of many outstanding Broadway musical hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. The full hour play you are about to hear on the MGM Theater of the Air is a merry comedy of marriage in the modern style. It is called Married Bachelor. This play is adapted from a successful Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture. Our star this week is the well-known and talented stage and screen actor, Burgess Meredith. In just a moment now, we will hear Mr. Burgess Meredith in Married Bachelor as presented by the MGM Theater of the Air. The curtain rises to usher in the laughter and gaiety of a happy love story. The MGM Theater of the Air presents Burgess Meredith in person as Randy Haven in Married Bachelor. Let us take you through a door on which is lettered Haven Investment Company. We are in the small outer office with a beautiful girl and two gentlemen who don't look as if butter would melt in their mouths. There is a switchboard, a convenient mechanism for a young lady who must stall for time. The waiting gentlemen are impatient. There is something on their minds. And the telephone interruptions are an interference.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. Haven Investment Company. Oh, yes. I'm sorry, not yet. I'll tell him you've called four times. No, it's five, isn't it? I'll tell Mr. Haven. Hello? Hello? Well, really. Now, gentlemen.
We want to see Mr. Haven.
Yeah.
Whom did you say was calling again?
It's about some money Mr. Haven owes us.
Yeah.
Oh. Just a moment, please.
Well, we ain't got all day to wait. Tell him.
I'll tell him.
You tell me what?
Randy.
Yes, I'm almost done here. Look, what's a five-letter word meaning hasty departure?
It could be scram.
Uh-oh.
Now, no time for playing games. Outside are two gentlemen interested in your money. Yours, which you haven't got.
My suitcases are all packed right here under the desk. I've been expecting them.
Well, give me the overnight bag.
Go on. The side door.
Got everything in those two bags?
Everything we own.
After you, Mr. Haven.
Thank you, Mrs. Haven.
Once, just once, I'd like to see what it's like.
What's like, honey?
Getting on a train without looking back to see if anyone's chasing us.
You know what's the matter with you? You're tired.
Oh.
I don't blame you.
You don't?
No, anybody get tired of hotel rooms, day coaches, living out of two valises. But don't you worry, Norma. We'll be in the money yet.
Sure we will. If you print it.
Oh, no.
Randy, I don't want to be a bad sport, but we've tried living your way and it doesn't get over. Let's try something else.
All right, what?
Work. Randy, let's face
work.
It. Work. You can't build a decent life on fake securities and empty oil wells and one phony deal after another.
Well, maybe you're right.
Randy, we're better than that.
Sure we are. Norma, I've been wrong. Just tell me what you want.
You. And a plain, old-fashioned 9-to-5 job with a paycheck every Saturday.
Okay, honey. If that's what you want, you'll get it. Now, from now on, I'm New Leaf Haven.
Randy, I'm serious, you know.
What do you mean? So am I.
You promise? About the job I mean?
I cross my heart, or I would if you hadn't taken it over when you married me. Now, how do you like that? I've been married for 4 years, and I'm still in love with my wife. Why, sure, I promise, honey, anything you say.
Do you know the nicest thing about us?
You?
The nicest thing about us is that we've always been on the level with each other.
Oh, it's a lucky guy, Randolph Haven, because he's got you.
No matter what you were doing with anyone else, you were always on the level with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't forget, will you?
Forget what, honey?
Your promise.
My promise? Now, what promise?
Oh, Randy.
Oh, that? No, of course I won't forget. You just watch me. Honey, you just watch me. New Leaf Haven, full of ginger, sharp as a tack, heading straight for the moon.
Ajax Collection Agency. Yeah, $2 on a nose, man a man in the third. You got it, Fred. Now, Randy, what was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Cookie,
yeah.
What are White Queen's chances in the third at Belmont?
She's a dog. Got anything on her?
I just got one bet. Here's a slip.
Yeah. What I was saying, Randy, 6 weeks ago you come here. I take you in 50-50. You brought class to the joint. Ajax Collection Agency. Yeah. Yeah, Dubonnet, 6 across the board in the fourth. You got it, Jack. I was kind of ashamed to say I was a bookie. Now it's different. We got class, thanks to you, Randy. Somebody asks, I'm a bookmaker. They don't know whether it's printing or betting.
So you're satisfied with the arrangement?
Sure, sure.
Well, I'm not, Cookie.
I heard you. And what I was saying is, why?
Well, my wife knows that I got a job, but she doesn't know what kind. You understand? She thinks it's legitimate, Cookie.
Well, who says it ain't?
No, she says, you know, she thinks it's up early in the morning, down the office, work at a desk 9 to 5, collect a check every Friday, salary minus withholding, legitimate, that kind of...
Yeah, now, look, Randy...
No, she's out right now. Listen to this, Cookie. She's out right now this afternoon looking at furniture. She's like a kid with a bright new toy.
Yeah, but what you say about this business being legitimate...
Cookie, I'm going to try to find the kind of a job my wife thinks that I've got. You see, after tonight, you and I are winding up, and that's that.
I heard you.
All right.
What I want to know, what's wrong with this business? Why ain't it legitimate?
There's no reason except there's a law against it. You knew about that, didn't you?
Look, a guy figures a horse is going to win. Like this guy you took a bet on White Queen from.
Yeah.
He bets, the horse loses, he gets wrong, he pays me. Hey.
What's the matter now?
Am I going blind or is this $1,000 bet on White Queen?
You're not going blind.
What if the nag wins?
She's a dog. You told me so yourself.
Do I know what I'm talking about? Grand, it's 17 to 1.
Oh, no. But...
Maybe we can still lay off.
Now, pull yourself together. White Queen can't win.
You know,
I'm telling you.
Hello, Dave. Dave, Cookie. I want to lay off a bet quick. A grand on White Queen to win in this... What? Yeah, I heard you. 4 lengths.
What?
She breezes in by 4 lengths, 17 to 1.
I'll close the window before we both jump out.
Jokes he makes yet. Well, I don't know about you, Randy, but I'm getting on a train and getting out of here quick.
Now, take it easy, will you, Cookie?
Take it easy. Says, take it easy. Class you got to bring to the joint. $1,000 bets from... Who'd you take it from, anyhow?
Brannigan.
Johnny Brannigan?
Yeah, Johnny Brannigan.
The guy who sent the waiter to the hospital because the soup was too hot? And then took his boys to the hospital and made the waiter eat the soup? Oh!
Now, look, there's some way out of this.
You bet there is. Through the nearest door, to the fastest elevator, to the first train anywhere.
17,000 fish.
Brannigan.
How do you like that, huh? 17 to 1.
Hi, Evan.
Hello.
Okay, Cookie, give.
Look, Brannigan.
What's the matter?
Well, you see... $17,000
is a lot of money. Take us a little while to accumulate that much cash. Kind of...
I see.
Yeah, it's your pile of clams, Brannigan, but we'll have it in the morning.
You'll have it tonight, boys.
Brannigan.
Tonight. You got it? I don't owe nobody nothing. I don't like nobody owing me nothing. 17,000 fish. My boys and I will be around for them tonight.
Oh.
Now stop fainting. Let's stop thinking. Who owes us? Come on. Have you got the book?
Yeah, who owes us?
Who owes us?
Who owes us? A lot of small bets that don't amount to nothing.
Who's this? $330 here.
I don't know. A professor, Ladislaus Millick. He writes books.
How'd you ever let him get into you for that much dough?
Do I know what I'm doing? He told me if he ever sold a book, he'd make a fortune.
Well, let's go find him. Maybe he sold a book. That $330 is liable to be a down payment on our lives.
Well, gentlemen, I would cheerfully pay you if it were possible. Why, last month I paid my rent by giving the landlord an autographed picture I had of Sigmund Freud. You may take any of my meager possessions, but...
But you don't have $330.
I don't have $20.
Oh.
I don't have $10. I have nothing. I'm sorry.
Look, Professor.
I wish you would sit down. Be comfortable, gentlemen. I will move this book.
But we don't want to sit down. Professor, we got to have this dough. We got to.
Now, look, he hasn't got a cookie. You can see that.
Yeah, but...
Professor, now, what about these books here? What are these things you've written?
Well, if it will help you out of your predicament, you may take any of these manuscripts. Do with them as you like. I would appreciate your doing so for the sum I owe you.
That's a fair deal. What's this one here?
Hey, wait a minute. You're not going to let him off for a book.
What else can we do, Cookie? Look at this.
$330 for a lot of words.
Moron.
Moron. Schmoron. It's miter. That's what it is.
Say, how do you like this title? The Neurological and Psychological Manifestations of Marriage by Dr. Randolph Haven.
Come again?
Well, I won't be a regular doctor. You know, a PhD. Looks swell on a book jacket, wouldn't it? Neurological and Psychological Manifestations of Marriage by Dr. Randolph Haven. Come on, Cookie. I've got to cash in on an idea.
Mr. Santley will see you, Dr. Dehaven.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
He doesn't know anything about any appointment, but
well,
he said...
It's very funny. It was for six sharp.
Well, he'll see you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In here, please.
You know, I distinctly remember the publisher's office at six. It was... Oh, how do you do, Mr. Santley?
How do you do?
How do you do? I'm rather embarrassed. I feel as though I'd forced my way in here.
Oversights happen. Dr. Haven, is it?
Haven, yes. You see, I'm delighted that you liked my book, Mr. Santley.
Your book?
After all, a successful publisher like you, and it's my first book, you know. Is there anything wrong, Mr. Santley?
You say I liked your book?
Is this some sort of joke?
I never read your book, Dr. Haven.
You never? Now, they told me that you wanted to publish it, that I was to be here at this address at... Oh, my goodness. Oh.
What is it?
I'm in the wrong office. The appointment is with Singer and Company.
Singer?
Yes, I'm terribly sorry. I guess it's the excitement of selling my book after 4 years of work.
Singer read your book and liked it?
Oh, he certainly did. I'm late already. I'm sorry to have bothered
you. Now, wait a minute, Dr. Haven.
Yes?
Singer and Company is a first-line outfit, one of the best, but you don't want your stuff swallowed up by a company too big to give you a proper build-up. What sort of book have you written, Doctor?
It's a sort of technical book, a sort of psychological study of marriage.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'll have to be going. They want to close the deal tonight.
Now, don't be in a hurry, Doctor. You know I've brought out a few new authors in my time, and I'd like to read your book.
Oh, I don't...
Is this it, in this package?
Well, now, I really should have.
Bulky. 4 years' work, huh?
You know, I'm not sure this is ethical, you know.
Oh, nonsense. No contracts have been signed, Doctor.
Contracts? No, not yet.
Well, then, I'm very interested in the subject of your book, and I might be in a position to give you a much more attractive setup than Singer.
Oh, really? Well, I suppose I oughtn't rush into anything, should I, after 4 years' work?
Well, what's a few more hours? Eh? Exactly, yes. I'm a very fast reader. Now, how can I get in touch with you by telephone?
Etiquette 21098.
Right.
Well, good night.
Good night, Dr. Haven. Good night.
Wonderful. I do wish you could have been with
Norma, Norma, darling,
picking
look
out
at...
our own furniture, choosing colors and looking at fabrics and trying this chair for looks and that one for comfort. Oh, gee, it was wonderful.
Honey, will you sit down, please?
What?
Will you sit down? There's something that I've got to tell you.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
Just oh. That's so familiar. The tone, the look on your face. All right, Schnookie, what is it?
Well... I better begin at the beginning.
You usually do.
Well, who can that be?
Are you expecting anyone?
No, yes. I mean, he said tonight, but...
Hi, Randy.
Cookie, what are you doing? Hello, Brannigan.
Haven.
Come in. I want you to meet my wife, Mrs. Haven, Mr. Brannigan.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Haven, I didn't think you was a jacko.
Now, how about a nice cool drink, huh?
Where is my 17,000 fish?
I've been trying to tell him, Randy. That's your pile of clams.
Yeah, that's why I ain't gonna get rooked out of it.
If you gentlemen will pardon me, I think I'll retire. I'll bet there's more to this than meets the nose.
Brannigan, you shouldn't have come here.
I would like my 17,000 fish.
I don't intend to welch
any. And either I get my 17,000 fish.
Excuse me.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Mr. Santley. Yeah? Oh, that's fine.
All we need is time, Brannigan. A little time.
You'll get time. A long time. Stretched out flat, end to end.
I heard you.
You really want to publish my book, Mr. Santley? Well, that's very good news, of course.
Hey, Since when does a bookie write books?
Bookmaker? Who else should make books?
You'll have to give me a pretty good advance, Mr. Santley. Oh, you will? Oh, that's fine. Tomorrow at your office to sign contracts. I'll be there, Mr. Santley. I certainly will. I'll be there with bells on. Brannigan.
Yeah.
I just received very exciting news. I've sold my book. You know what I'm going to do?
Pay me my 17,000 fish.
Exactly. Santley, that's my publisher says to make a lot of money. I'm going to cut you in until you're paid off.
Oh, yeah?
I told you that I wouldn't welch.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. And Cookie belongs to me until this thing is official.
What do you mean? I'm like a deposit?
Yeah, sure, like a deposit. If that's what you want to call it, it's all right with me.
It's all right with you. What about me? What if I don't want to go along?
Cookie...
Now, look
at... Get going.
I heard you.
Hey, but when is this going to record?
10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll meet you in Cookie's office with a checkman for down payment at 10:30.
I'll dig you. Cookie, hit the road.
Norma. Honey, look, darling.
Go away, will you?
Listen, I started to explain when they came in. Listen, baby.
Election agency. Randy, that's downright cheating, lying to me like that.
I don't know. It isn't a complete lie. It is a sort of collecting, isn't it? When we collect, only...
You stay away from me, Randy Haven.
Honey, be reasonable.
Reasonable. Oh, makes me feel such a dope. Tonight, looking at furniture, having such fun, talking about being respectable.
Now, Norma, you must believe this one thing. Now, please, this afternoon I told Cookie that I was going to quit before this... Horse came in, but, it had to win.
Oh, if it isn't horses, it's stocks or oil wells. We've been lucky up to now, but this time something tells me we're going to get hurt.
Not us. Now, look at me, honey. Nobody's going to get hurt.
It's the first time you've lied to me, Randy.
I know.
No matter how you were with anyone else, you were always on the level with me. I was so proud of that.
Honey, I've got to pay off Brannigan.
Oh, I know.
And when that's done, never again, so help me. Norma.
Yes?
Will you play this out with me, just this? Will you please?
Oh.
Now, this is the first time anything's come close to breaking us up. Now, nothing's worth that.
Is this Randy, my husband, talking? Or Randy, the super salesman?
What do you think?
I think I love you. And I'm a dope and I can't help it. I just do. So I'll play it out and see what happens.
You will hear what happens to the young married Havens in just a moment. Now, for Act Two of the MGM Theater of the Air presentation, starring Burgess Meredith. For a short while after Randy's deception is discovered and forgiven, contentment is in the atmosphere. At any rate, Norma isn't unhappy. Randy sees a way out. Professor Millick sees his book in print. Brannigan sees 17,000 fish. Sadly, the publisher is bubbling with promotional plans. And there is the heart of the trouble, Santley's plans. Trouble is a mire, with Randy Haven knee-deep in it and sinking rapidly.
Well, there it is, Dr. Haven, our sales campaign. We're going all out on your book, as you see. And we're changing the title, by the way. We're calling it A Bachelor Looks at Marriage.
A bachelor?
Oh, that's obvious from your book, Doctor. If you weren't a bachelor, it would scotch the whole deal. But we needn't worry about that, eh?
Oh, no.
That's my sales angle. A bachelor who has set down in a book the most complete analysis of modern marriage we've ever read. Doctor, it'll sell a million copies.
Darling, Brannigan was worried about my wife.
Oh, he was.
Yes. About how you take this bachelor business. I said my wife wouldn't spill the beans.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, because she... I said to him that she's the most understanding woman in the world. She never spills, I said to him. Well, I guess... First thing I better do is read the book I've written, eh? You can see for yourself it's a fact, gentlemen.
How do you like this? A full-page ad, A Bachelor Looks at Marriage by Dr. Randolph Hagen.
In 3 weeks, number one on the bestseller list. In 3 weeks, you see that, Brannigan?
I ain't interested. What I'm watching is the take, and so far, so good. Just keep it coming, that's all, Haven. Just keep it coming.
Well, I'm very grateful to you, Mr. Haven. You have given me an opportunity to peruse my book in print, but this that you ask me now, this...
Advisory capacity, Professor. I need you to work with me in an advisory capacity. Now, lots of things are coming up, radio programs, lectures, newspaper columns.
I am sorry.
There'll be quite a bit of money involved.
What's the matter with him? He playing sour?
Do I know anything?
No, I'm afraid my sense of integrity is too acute.
Now, look, Haven.
Take it easy, Brannigan.
Tell him he ain't playing no bird with a long neck. You better get hep and be somebody.
Mr. Brannigan, here, thinks, Professor, that you'd better reconsider our offer.
No, I have exhausted my opinions on the subject of marriage. I have nothing more to say.
Now, wait a minute, Junior.
What?
What are you trying to do? Give us the fuller?
The fuller?
The brush, Professor. The brush off.
Yeah. Because if that's what you're trying to do, Jack, you better puff off.
Puff off? What is this?
Well, Professor, Mr. Brannigan suggests that you discontinue your indifferent attitude towards our proposition.
Well, look, big brain, I'm going to start cooking with gas, see?
He cooks with gas?
Now, wait a minute. Brannigan, Cookie, explain the situation to the professor.
Yes, I'm bewildered.
Well, this gentleman here, Mr. Brannigan, has got me like a deposit till we pay him 17,000 fish.
Fish?
Dollars.
Oh! Yeah, now, I've been very nice to you, Professor. You got to be nice to me and my partner. You want me to haunt you? You want my blood on your hands?
Well, that gives quite a different complexion to the whole matter. Your blood?
Uh-huh.
Well, are you... Yes, very well, gentlemen. I will do it.
Good.
Well, give us the wink, kid, the wink.
Now, am I cooking with gas? Yes?
The two apartments are adjoining, as you can see, Dr. Haven.
Yes.
Yours on the right, your secretary's on the left. A small hall between. Most convenient, isn't it, Miss...
What? Oh, yes. Very nice. May we look around by ourselves, please?
Certainly. I'll wait for you downstairs.
You like it, Norma, don't you?
The apartment?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. Plural. Apartments. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're very beautiful.
I kind of thought you'd think so.
One for Dr. Haven, one for his secretary. By the way, who is your secretary?
Are you kidding?
No.
Honey, you are.
I see.
Yeah, those are the apartments for you. I'm making enough money to afford it.
By being a bachelor.
What? Yes, you know.
Randy, this bachelor business was your idea.
No, not exactly, no, but I went along with it.
And so did I. But being married to a bachelor isn't much fun.
I know that, honey.
Well, then?
Well, Norma, now we've talked this all through. It came down to this. Would you rather have me alive and pretend I'm a bachelor or not pretend I'm a bachelor and end up with a broken head?
Right now, I'd have to think about that.
Norma.
Randy, it's been 6 weeks. I never see you anymore. Lectures, radio guest appearances, conferences. Brannigan is almost paid off now, isn't he?
Almost?
Well, then why go on with it, Randy?
Because I'd be a sucker not to.
You are going on with it, then.
Norma.
Aren't you?
Well, sure I am. My new radio show starts next week.
All right, Randy.
Well, I don't like the way you said that.
I may as well tell you, I got a job last week.
You did what?
You see, you're home so little you never noticed. Well, I got a job. I don't like living on the kind of money that pays for this.
Now, Norma, don't be difficult.
Once you stop posing as a bachelor, Dr. Haven, I won't be at all difficult.
I told you that I can't.
But until you do, I'm remaining in Washington Heights, and I'm going to keep the old apartment, and I'm going to keep my job in the department store, and you can sleep here or across the hall or anywhere you like.
Now, wait a minute. Sleep here? What
Randy,
do I...
Randy, your picture's on the cover of a book called A Bachelor Looks at Marriage.
Norma, listen.
You may as well know, Dr. Haven, as far as I'm concerned, bachelors live alone.
I thank you very much. And this thesis on marriage is more completely developed in my book, which you can buy. But in closing, I'd like to stress again that wives have rights as individuals. The wife is a queen bee of the home, and as such, she is entitled to the independence and the complete freedom of the queen bee. Thank you. Thank you.
They eat it up, Mr. Sampley.
Yes, certainly an enthusiastic audience this afternoon.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
What?
May I stack these books on this counter, please?
Oh, sorry, I'm in your way. Yes, sir, our Dr. Haven is money in the bank.
Say, that's a pretty girl.
Those women crowding around for autographs will mob him to death.
You'd better go out and help him.
If that's possible, but I'll try.
Mr. Sampley?
Yes. Oh, am I still in the way?
You are, Mr. Sampley?
Oh, yes.
The publisher?
That's right.
Well, I heard your assistant call you by name and then your interest in Dr. Haven. You published his book, didn't you?
I did, and with authors like him, it's a pleasure to be a publisher.
Oh, I'm sure you made a wise investment, Mr. Sampley.
Well, it's nice of you to say so.
Women especially love what Dr. Haven says about there being queen bees.
Yes. You've read the book, Miss...
Well, not yet.
If you'd like a copy, I could get Dr. Haven to autograph one for you. That is, if you'd like to have one.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
I'll bring it out to you myself.
Well, I'm just helping out here. My regular department is gloves on the main floor.
Gloves?
And I'd better finish stacking this counter now.
I'll bring you your book tomorrow. Gloves. On the main floor.
Oh, I'll treasure it, Mr. Sampley. Thank you so much.
Oh, Sampley. Now, how'd you miss a shot like that? You must have something on your mind.
Well, as a matter of fact, I have.
You have something on your mind, huh? A girl?
And what a girl.
Well, lucky you.
I met her this afternoon at your lecture.
Oh?
And I promised her an autographed copy of your book, by the way.
Fine. Now, go ahead and shoot. What's the matter with you?
Randy, this is rather awkward for me to say, but, I've never done very well with the ladies.
I don't see why not.
Well, I get all sort of thick-tongued and I... Now, Randy, look, I thought that maybe you've got so much poise, and I thought that maybe you could help me out.
My contract doesn't call for lessons in lovemaking.
No, I'm serious, Randy.
I see. You know what I think's your trouble, Santley, old boy?
What?
Women have the Indian sign on you because you think that they're hard to get.
Huh?
They aren't. Women have one common bond, my boy. One thing they love, and that's to be pursued.
Pursued?
That's it.
Well, I don't know. This girl seems to be a little different, not the ordinary kind at all.
No woman is ordinary and no woman is different. Get that out of your head. Of course, if you want to put up with this girl on a pedestal and worship her and wind up with a nice, friendly, big brotherly relationship.
No.
All right. Then you've got to get in there, you see, and you've got to start pitching, boy. Keep saying to yourself, listen to this, you keep saying to yourself over and over again, you keep saying... This is easy. She's a cinch. This is easy.
She's a cinch. That's it.
Be confident. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And above all, make her believe that you'd rather be with her than with anyone else in the world.
Uh-huh. And that'll do it?
You just try it and see.
This is easy. She's a cinch.
That's it.
See, Randy, you know what I think?
What?
I think this is going to be mighty interesting, thanks to you.
Why, think nothing about it, old man. Nothing at all.
we've heard Mrs. B's marriage problem. Our jury has given its opinion. And now, Dr. Haven's advice. Dr. Haven.
Thank you. I can't entirely agree with the jury, Mrs. B. From the, shall we say, vantage point of a bachelor, I've had opportunity to observe how antiquated some of our marriage customs have become. Wives should always remember they are still attractive to other men. And you, Mrs. B., should remember this, that the wife is the queen bee of the home. All right, if you please, the next case. How's that? Oh, yes, well, I told you it works, sadly. All right, don't forget, keep saying it's easy, it's a cinch, it's... Yeah, that's right. And keep me posted, because I've got a special interest in this case, you know. My pupil's making progress, Professor. He's driving this girl of his he just met, you know. He's driving her home four nights in a row.
Randy, it is 7 o'clock. You wanted to make a telephone call at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock? Oh, yes, my wife. I wanted to call my... Wait a minute. 7 o'clock. I've got a lecture in an hour. I still haven't memorized what you wrote for me to say. I'll call my wife later.
Brannigan, be reasonable. Look, we almost paid you off those 17,000 clams, and still you say I gotta be like a deposit.
Cookie, look. I'm strictly a guy with a six hat and 50 shirt, you know that. I don't know how this thing goes, but it goes, and the fish come kicking. So you spring along, see? We all wind up with plenty of scratch in our jeans. King of the world. Unless, maybe you don't buy that cookie, eh?
I hide you.
This is easy. She's a cinch. Yeah, this is easy.
Hello.
Oh, hello. I didn't hear you come up.
You're interested in looking at a pair of gloves, sir?
Yes, I guess so. Yellow chamois.
Yellow chamois?
Size 8.5.
8.5?
I'm getting all dressed up for a big party on Saturday night.
Oh, you'll be the belle of the ball. Yellow chamois. Mm-mm. Here, try them on.
You see, there's a girl that I'm crazy about, and I want her to meet a few friends of mine at a dinner party.
Well, maybe she's busy.
Oh, no, she isn't busy. I'm going to call for around 8 o'clock on Saturday night. All right?
Well, I'm sure she'd like to meet all your friends, authors, people like that.
Yeah, I'm even going to have Dr. Haven at the party.
Oh, she'd be thrilled at meeting him. I imagine if Dr. Haven's going to be there, she'd even break a previous engagement.
Well, I don't know as I like that. It sounds as though you'd rather be out with him than with me.
Oh, you know how women are about celebrities.
Yes, well, I'll see you on Saturday night then, Norma. 8 sharp. Oh, here, you can have these. I can't stand yellow gloves.
Dessert, Norma, darling?
Thanks, I'm up to you.
So am I. Well, my. You realize how long it's been since we had a meal together?
Oh, yes.
That's 4 days ago. A quick cup of coffee. Before that... No, I had to break that dinner date, didn't I?
Yes.
Oh, they're running me ragged, Norma.
Are they ragged?
Oh, yes, they are. Now, the idea is that I'm to do a radio show 5 times a week. Across the board, they call. I don't know, though. It seems to me that...
Randy, is Brannigan paid off yet?
Yes, just about. Yes.
So now what?
Now we're on velvet, and everything that comes is ours, darling.
You plan to go on with this bachelor business, then?
Well, honey, I told you that if I didn't, I'd be a sucker.
Randy... Randy, we're the people that were married in a little church in San Antonio, remember?
Sure, but I
don't like this. The gushing women with their silly questions, the fake doctor title, the kind of living that goes
we'll
with it.
We'll work it all out in good time, but right now the gravy's coming in and I want us both to bathe in it.
Randy, you want me to accept a lot of things, don't you?
Sometimes circumstances make it necessary for a person to accept a lot of things.
Well, speaking of circumstances, how would you accept the fact that there's another man in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you smile at that.
Your technique is too obvious, Norma.
My technique?
Yes, creating a mythical romance to stir me up. I had a case similar to yours only a few days ago on the air.
You did?
Yes, a Mrs. Hubble. Tried to make her husband pay attention to...
Oh, very silly woman. Tried to make her husband pay attention to her by making him jealous. I advised her to have faith in her husband.
Well, I shouldn't have tried that, I can see. You're so smart about these things. Oh, my, my lunch hour's nearly over.
Well, I'll walk you back, providing we have no more tricks.
Oh, no, no more tricks.
Oh, by the way, darling, now, I want you to go to a party with me Saturday night.
Together? In public?
Well, nobody has to know that we're, that you're my, you know, no one has to know anything about...
I was just wondering.
It's at my publisher's, and he's giving it to some girl that he's rushing.
Ooh, how nice for her.
And I'll call for you Saturday at 8, huh?
All right. Oh, let's make it 8:30.
All right, 8:30. It is Saturday night.
We'll continue with the tribulations of a married bachelor in just a moment. Now, Act Three, in the MGM Theater of the Air presentation starring Burgess Meredith in Married Bachelor. Life can be complicated, more so when that life is a double one. A girl who dates one man for Saturday night and another man for the same Saturday night is not pursuing a pure, simple, pastoral existence. Especially when that other man happens to be her husband. But no shadow of impending calamity dulls the gaiety of Santley's party. Randy hasn't shown up yet. Norma, for reasons known to herself and all womankind, has a particular sparkle this evening.
Santley, be honest now. Where did you find her?
Oh, please.
That's my secret, Ben.
Oh, she's a darling, Eric. I quite approve.
You see, Norma, they like you, and my friends have very discriminating tastes.
Your friends are very sweet. Oh, by the way, didn't you say Dr. Haven was coming tonight?
He said he'd be here.
I wonder what's keeping him.
Maybe he got stood up. Dr. Haven? Could that happen to him?
Well, it'd be a blow if it did. Norma, would you like to dance?
Oh, I'd love to.
If Haven comes, you all hang on to him. I want to hear his explanation myself.
Well, Eric won't have to wait long to get his wish.
How's that?
Isn't this the eminent Dr. Haven coming now?
Oh, so it is, and looking a bit flushed, too. Well, Haven, here you are.
Would seem so, wouldn't it?
Why, Dr. Haven, you're alone.
That's right.
We've all been looking forward to meeting the girl the expert on women would bring.
She was out.
Out, Dr. DeHaven?
Well, I mean, she was down and out. She had a headache.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, maybe it's just as well.
What do you mean by that?
The competition is tough enough tonight.
She's referring to Santley's lady.
Oh, yes, I heard him talk about her.
Randy, you finally got here. We saw you come in.
Hello, Santley. I'm sorry to be late.
Yes, I know just how you feel. Speechless. She does that to people. I want you two to know each other. Randy, Norma.
How do you do, Dr. Haven?
Oh.
Well, was I right about her or was I right? Come on, Randy, speak up.
I
Dr. Haven's upset. His date had a headache.
Oh, her husband showed up.
I've heard so much about you, Dr. Haven.
You wait a minute.
Now, to actually meet you, I suppose it's difficult for you to accept the flattery that must come your way.
There's a lot of things I find difficult to accept.
I've wanted you two to know each other for a long time.
That's very nice of you, Santley.
And to prove it, I'll let you sit beside her, Randy.
I'd like to talk to her alone.
Sure, but...
Maybe you care to dance?
Dr. Haven...
Good, come on.
Hey!
Well, Eric, it looks like the doctor shifted into high gear and left you in the lurch.
Randy, Boom. You're hurting my arm.
I'm sorry.
And you're trembling. Are you nervous or something?
Now, you look here, Norma.
I didn't think Dr. Haven had any nerves.
Oh, yes, I have nerves.
Randy, shh, not so loud.
I can get petty and annoyed and jealous just like any other man. As a matter of fact, I have a very bad temper.
And you can prove that here.
a fine way to treat a husband, Norma.
Squirm, lover boy, squirm.
We're going back to that table and we're telling them who you are and who I am.
And show up Dr. Haven as a colossal fake, Randy, really, are we?
Well, that... he's not taking you home anyway.
Oh, is that so?
And this silly flirtation is being called off as is tonight. Now, Norma, I've been very patient with you.
Oh, you have?
Yes, I have. I'm even willing to overlook this business with Santley.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am. One of the fundamentals of marriage is you can't defy the head of the man of the house.
Oh?
And you're going to do as I say about this.
I am.
You are. Yeah, I am. Yes.
Oh, Randy, you're slowing up. Your fake success is making you a little fat. Upstairs.
All right, all right.
Your phony work has made you a phony, Randy. A few weeks ago, you might have taken me in your arms and I might have listened to you. But not now. Not anymore.
I see.
Do you?
Yes, you've just about covered everything, haven't you? All right, if that's the way you want it, it's okay with me. I'll take you back to your table and leave you with your gay friends.
Oh, you needn't bother.
Then I won't. I'll say goodnight now.
Randy.
Yes?
Nothing.
You were going to say something.
I guess it was just goodnight, Randy.
We are no longer living in the Middle Ages. Wives have rights as individuals. Such an hour, visitors. Just a moment. Yes?
Professor Millick?
Larissa Millick, yes?
Please forgive me for coming at this hour, but I'm Mrs. Haven, Mrs. Randolph Haven.
Oh, Mrs. Haven, please come in.
Thank you.
I have always known Dr. Haven had a wife, of course, but I didn't know she was quite so attractive. Oh, sit down, please. I will move the books. Always books piled in the chair. Oh,
Professor, you've been working with Randy. I'd like to ask you some questions about him.
Please?
About us.
Please?
Well, to be frank about it, the authority on marriage has a problem of his own.
His own problem? His own marriage?
You see, in lots of ways, Randy's still like a little boy. He plays games.
He plays games?
Making a living is a game and being married's a game.
I understand.
Well, that's fun. I don't mind it, but I do mind what's happened to Randy in this particular game. He's not like he used to be. There's a little bit of fake about him.
Mrs. Haven, please, perhaps I can save you the embarrassment of telling me what's happened if I tell you what's happened.
All right, let's play it your way.
Because of circumstances, your husband had to pose as a bachelor. You were quite willing to accept the situation until he began to take himself too seriously.
So far, so good. But what you don't know is that now Randy thinks there's another man.
Ah, and so he is jealous. And you are angry, and together you have quarreled.
Professor, is a marriage like ours, a marriage that's gotten into such an utter mess, is it worth saving?
Mrs. Haven... you ask me this question because I wrote a book, a rather bitter book, about marriage. And people believe the man who wrote such a book is a wise man.
Oh, Professor,
I will tell you something. I do not believe a word of that book.
You don't?
I am not scornful about marriage, or cynical, or even disillusioned.
You aren't?
I am scornful of people who distort and complicate marriage until all beauty is wrung out of it. You see, the more basic and simple a marriage is, the better.
Yes,
but... Mrs. Haven, people should talk less and love more. It is very simple.
Well, I've solved most of my problems myself, but this one's too much for me.
In some way, we must present him with the problem. He has to make one final irrevocable choice. Either you or his newfound and false reputation.
Well, I'm a little afraid of putting it that way.
But you have to be as strong as he is, and just as ruthless.
All right, I'm willing.
Good. We'll put our heads together and think of something.
Now, Professor?
Now, Mrs. Haven. And remember, we must be bold, dramatic, ruthless. Uh-huh. Already I have the beginning of an idea.
Oh, we can sit here in the lounge and eat a broadcast cookie.
Yeah.
How's it feel, pal? Tonight you're a free man.
Yeah, but I gotta get used to it, Brannigan.
I tell you something, Cookie.
Hmm?
I was worried.
You was worried?
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you guys had smacked me for 17 G's. I figured you was a couple of lizards, see?
Yeah, I heard you.
You know what I plan to do with you, Cookie?
What?
Have a cigar.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. You was slated for the hot box, pal.
The hot box?
Yeah. Yeah, the steam room. Turkish. Me and my boys thought another lizard in one once, and we forgot to watch the temperature.
You forgot the... So what happened to him?
Well, he just melted away. Came a very nice funeral. Here, have a light.
No, thanks. I don't feel so good.
Yeah, but Cookie, that's got nothing to do with me and you now. We're square, even up, as of tonight.
Yeah, but like I said, I gotta get used to it.
Yeah. You know, if it hadn't been for Haven and that professor. Hey.
What's the matter?
What's he doing out here in the lounge?
Randy?
The professor. Hey, Junior.
Good evening, Mr. Brannigan and Cookie.
You ain't in the studio.
I am not. Cookie, you look very happy.
I do? I mean, sure I do. I ought to. I've been refunded.
Refunded?
Yeah, he ain't on deposit no more after tonight. I got my 17,000 fish, thanks to you, Professor.
Thanks to Dr. Haven.
Hey, that reminds me. Huh? These here wing things are funnier to see than to hear. Come on, Cookie.
Where are we going?
Inside. I changed my mind about listening out here in the lounge. We'll get more laughs if we go. Hey, what? Why, you're blind? Don't you look where you're going?
Come on, Brannigan. Like you said, it's funnier inside. Come on, let's go.
Professor, what are you doing out here in the hall?
Good evening, Mr. Santley.
Why aren't you inside in the studio? Randy's on the air in a couple of minutes.
Calm yourself, Mr. Santley.
Calm myself? Why ever?
Tonight, I hear Randy's program without being in the studio. I hear it in the studio loud.
You can't do that. Randy hates to broadcast unless you're in the studio, in the control room.
Tonight, Randy is on his own. Mr. Santley, you seem very nervous.
Oh, nonsense.
Very short-tempered. Would it be you have been, how shall we say, given the brush by a certain young lady?
Now, Professor, you mind your own business and get in that control room where you belong.
Are you acquainted with Johnny Brannigan, Mr. Santley?
Well, what about him?
He would understand this if you do not. Puff off, Mr. Santley. If you please, puff off.
Presenting A Bachelor Looks at Marriage. Every week at this time, we bring you Dr. Randolph Haven. Dr. Haven discusses and solves your marital problems in his own incomparably intelligent manner, assisted by a jury picked from the radio audience. And now, Dr. Haven.
Thank you. Now, our first problem for tonight, if you please.
Mrs. Harriet Heflin, Doctor. Mrs. Heflin, your occupation?
Housewife.
You may sit at the desk with Dr. Heaton.
No, don't be nervous, Mrs. Heflin. What is your problem?
Dr. Haven, my
no,
husband...
No, sit squarely on your seat. There you
Thank
are.
You.
Now, what about your husband?
My husband, he's a dreamer.
Oh?
I mean, what you might call a daydreamer, you see. He forgets to come home.
Now, let me get this straight. He forgets to come home because he's a daydreamer?
Yeah, well, you see, he gets to daydreaming, and when he wakes up, he's liable to be most any place except home where he belongs. Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, Mrs. Heflin, that your husband has developed an escapist complex.
Yeah, that could be, yeah. Last week, he dreamed himself clear to Richmond.
Well...
And he'd have escaped maybe farther yet, only a detective I sent after him woke him up and brought him back.
Now, Mrs. Heflin, I think... No, look at me, Mrs. Heflin.
Yes, I'm looking.
I suggest you improve your cooking so that your husband's dream flights will stay closer to home. Either that, Mrs. Heflin, either that or a long vacation should be the solution of your marriage. Now let your... Yes.
Oh.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Father.
Now let your husband miss the care and the comfort that you've lavished upon him, and I'm sure he will become the good man he basically must be to have so charming a wife. Does the jury have any of their notions on this matter?
No, Dr. Haven.
Thank you. Now our next problem, if you please.
Dr. Haven's next problem is Miss Norma Winters.
Miss Nor...
What? Miss Winters resides in New York. Is employed in Brandt's department store. In gloves. This way, Miss Winters.
Thank you.
Sit at the desk with Dr. Haven.
What you said about my occupation.
Yes?
Working is sort of secondary. My main job is trying to keep my husband out of trouble. See, I'm really a Mrs.
Miss Winters, what exactly is your problem?
Well, I'm married to a man who, because of the nature of his position, must keep secret the fact that we're married.
That seems to be a reasonable request under certain circumstances.
Doctor, you see, complications have destroyed our happiness.
Miss Winters?
It isn't as if he couldn't make a living at something else. He could, if he put his mind to it. He's bright and aggressive and very capable.
And getting fat upstairs?
Beg your pardon?
Never mind. Go on, Miss Winters. Whatever your name is.
Well, he's begun to think more of his position and money than he does of me. Seems a little unfair, doesn't it?
Don't sound fair to me.
I'd throw him out if he was mine.
Yes, sir. The man's a fool.
Now, the jury will save its comments at this time, please. Miss Winters, I don't think I've heard all the facts.
Well, this is my problem, Doctor. If I divorce him, it means he'll be exposed. He won't be able to continue his work. But then again, it may bring him to his senses. Dr. Haven, what shall I do?
Divorce him.
Get rid of him.
Divorce him by all means.
The jury thinks I should divorce him, Doctor. What do you think?
How did you get on this program, Miss Winters?
Doctor, you're forgetting you have a decision to make.
I can't reach a decision on just what you've told me. Your husband must have a point of view.
Oh, if you like, I can arrange for him to be here very quickly.
Oh, no, there's no need for that. Let me sort of guess what your husband's arguments might be. Perhaps he's very much involved.
I know what you're going to say. I've heard it before.
Are you sure you haven't given your husband cause for jealousy, for instance?
Well, I think that's very presumptuous.
Presumptuous or not, I think it's very unfair of you to come here and give only one side of this picture.
Well, if you must know, there was another man in my life.
Ah, you admit it then.
He was quite a fella.
Norma.
That other man was my husband. Before he became a phony.
Well, if that's true, why did you stand your husband up for another man last Saturday night?
Because I was trying to bring you to your senses. You were being so stupid and...
You mean there was nothing between you?
Oh, of course not, Randy.
Well, if I was sure of that, well, nothing else would matter. I'd give up everything.
Oh, I wish that were true.
Oh, it is true.
Well, then give it up, Randy. I'll settle for 2 valises and a day coach. And just... You.
That's all I want to. Oh, kiss me.
Oh, darling, darling.
Each week at this time, we have presented the well-known expert on, ladies and gentlemen, this series, A Bachelor Looks at Marriage, is finished.
Burgess Meredith will be back in just a moment.
Well, Burgess, you finally arrived. You've been on the MGM Theater of the Air.
No, a chap can't go any higher than that, can he, Howard? Are you suggesting that I retire?
No, the public couldn't afford that.
Neither could I.
We shouldn't mix art with money.
They rarely do get mixed.
Well, may I say that most of us have watched your career through many distinguished plays and pictures, as well as radio dramas, and it's a great treat for us to have you on our program. Your sincerity in your work reflects in every character you portray.
That's a handsome compliment, Howard, no more than I deserve. And I can only say that I'll keep trying to watch with interest these dramatic adaptations of past MGM pictures. It's a very good idea to bring life again to those entertainments which the people have enjoyed so much.
Thank you, Burgess.
Thank you, Howard.
Bachelor was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor picture, That Forsyth Woman, starring Errol Flynn, Greer Garson, Walter Pidgeon, and Robert Young. Barbara Weeks was heard as Norma. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Katz.